Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 41 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
We truly do believe that our institutions are providing a better life and helping to create a better Kentucky.
Three Kentucky community and technical colleges have been ranked among the top in the nation.
A circuit judge has been found guilty of violating the Code of Judicial Conduct.
Governor Matt Bevin's campaign is requesting an official re-canvass after the general election.
The host of Kentucky Sports Radio has announced he will not be on the air in the near future.
Five people have been indicted in Fleming County for allegedly engaging in organized crime.
In sports, Moorhead State's men's basketball hosts Spalding tonight at 6 p.m.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
A 10% chance of rain tonight with a low around 23. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Judicial Conduct Committee has handed down the final order in the case of a circuit court judge accused of official misconduct. Judge Beth Mays presided in Bath, Rowan, Menifee, and Montgomery counties before being suspended with pay by the commission. The JCC ruled today on six ethics charges connected to the arrest of her ex-husband and former Bath County attorney, Champ Mays, who was sent to prison for drug dealing and vote buying. The commission unanimously decided that Mays was in violation of judicial codes for five of the six charges of official misconduct. The sixth charge was dismissed. The commission said that Mays's actions gave credence to the belief that for those who have connections with the judicial system, a different set of rules exist. They said in the order that Mays's excuses for her actions rang hollow and those actions were blatantly in violation of rules and codes of ethics. Mays sent her resignation letter a day before her ethic trial was set to begin. The commission said in light of her retirement, they were only entitled to issue a public reprimand. Mays also faces criminal charges of two counts of tampering with public records and forgery in the second degree in Bath County. A jury trial in that case is set to begin November 12th in Bourbon County.
The Aspen Institute has named three schools in the Kentucky Community and Technical College system among the best in the nation. Out of nearly 1,000 two-year public colleges, Big Sandy, South Central Kentucky, and West Kentucky Community and Technical Colleges have been ranked within the top 150 nationwide. Dr. Jay Box is the president of KCTCS. He says the Aspen Institute has standards in place specifically for the community college division.
And through those standards, they address the ability of an institution to truly make the difference with student success and, in particular, access of individuals from minority and low income and success of that population.
The three colleges are now eligible to move into phase two of the $1 million 2021 Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, which narrows the field from 150 to the top 10, named in May of 2020.
An event at the Rowan County Public Library this evening will give locals a glimpse of times gone by. The event is called Old Photos, Gateway to the Past. Attendees will discuss photographs of Moorhead and Rowan County from the past and present, along with identification photos. Cindy Leach is the genealogy manager at the library. She says the event is also an opportunity to assist in compiling some of Moorhead's history.
But mainly what I do is I'll put up a picture on the PowerPoint and people will look at it and talk about it. Some of these places I don't know where they are, so I'm hoping that those who attend can help me figure out where they are because there's a lot of unknowns. There's probably stuff that's no longer here. And it's just a way to share photos and how the way things used to be.
The event also serves as a Preserving Your Heritage Genealogy Club meeting. The group meets on the first Thursday of each month. Tonight's event gets underway at 6 o'clock.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center is presenting a free concert to honor veterans tomorrow evening. The concert will take place at the Lewis Apperson White Performance Hall in Mount Sterling. Don McCoy is the adjutant for American Legion Post 22 there. He says the concert features the 100th Army Band of Fort Knox.
They go around the country performing in various locations. Tomorrow evening, around the state, tomorrow evening they are going to be here in Mount Sterling. And then Saturday they are going to participate in a parade in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So they're very well known and versed, and they come from a variety of backgrounds across the country as well.
The concert gets underway at 7 p.m. Donations for the Veterans Pavilion at Botts Park will be accepted.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Along with a race for governor, the matchup between candidates for attorney general gained a good deal of media coverage. Republican Daniel Cameron walked away with the win, becoming the first African American to serve as attorney general in Kentucky. Tuesday night, Cameron defeated Greg Stumbo by more than 220,000 votes. Now he's focused on working with his Democratic predecessor, Governor-elect Andy Beshear. Cameron discussed his campaign with WKYT.
I hope what it demonstrates is that regardless of what you look like, once people hear your message and recognize your heart and what your interests and passions are, they'll vote for you.
During a Wednesday morning press conference, Beshear said he's willing to work with Cameron. The newly elected attorney general says he hopes the two will have a great relationship. Cameron will be inaugurated in January.
Governor Matt Bevin's campaign is requesting an official re-canvass after the general election. Bevin addressed reporters Wednesday afternoon at the governor's mansion in Frankfort. Bevin tells WKYT there were multiple irregularities in the vote totals, including absentee ballots. No evidence of the governor's claims have been proven as of Wednesday.
I'm confident that in the end, the right results will be delivered, and I will be entirely comfortable with whichever way they go if I'm confident that the process has been served.
County boards of elections will convene on Thursday, November 14th at 9 a.m. to conduct the re-canvass. Those numbers will be reported to the Secretary of State.
Governor-elect Andy Beshear is moving on after Tuesday's win in the Kentucky gubernatorial race. Beshear won the election by a razor-thin margin, less than 5,400 votes, with 100% of precincts reporting. Beshear said he hopes Bevin will honor the election results.
The election ended. It ended, and it's time to move forward with a smooth transition that we are here to do so that we can do the people's business.
Beshear said his first acts as governor will be to rescind the Medicaid waiver, restore voting rights to 140,000 Kentuckians, and appoint a new Board of Education.
Kentucky's Chief Election Officer, Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes, says she's seen many close races and has even certified elections decided by one vote. Governor Matt Bevin has requested a re-canvass, which will be held Thursday, November 14th. Bevin could still file an election contest with the General Assembly after the re-canvass. He has up to 30 days after the votes are certified to do that. Grimes tells WKYT while every vote does count, she wouldn't feel a contested proceeding before the General Assembly would likely result in anything either.
The second procedure would be a contest proceeding, something that is wholly governed by Kentucky statute, that would occur before the members of the General Assembly.
Grimes says she's seen more than 20 re-canvasses, including Governor Bevin's narrow 83-vote primary win in 2015, and she's never seen the outcome change.
Some Kentucky Education Association members felt at ease following Governor-elect Andy Beshear's press conference on Wednesday. The KEA teachers were the ones that protested in Frankfort following Governor Bevin's announcement of pension policy and the, quote, emergency vote about said policy in November of last year. KEA President Eddie Campbell was at the press conference when he spoke with WKYT. He had this to say.
We know moving forward that he's going to stand with us and give us a seat at the table so we can have conversations about public education that's going to have real impacts in our classrooms all across the state.
Educators also say they realize regardless of who is in office, finding the money for those pension problems is still going to be a big issue in Frankfort.
The host of Kentucky Sports Radio has announced he would not be on air in the near future. Matt Jones says the decision comes after the Republican Party of Kentucky filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission, accusing Jones of violating regulations by accepting campaign contributions from various corporations. The RPK also claims Jones' upcoming book tour violates campaign laws. The book in question takes a shot at Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. The title of the book is Mitch, Please, How Mitch McConnell Sold Out Kentucky and America Too. It is not known when Jones will be back on the air. He also said he has support from iHeartRadio to continue his radio show as he considers running for Senate.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is co-sponsoring a bill with West Virginia's two U.S. senators and others aimed at preserving the pensions of about 92,000 retired coal miners and the health care benefits of another 13,000 working miners. Democrat Joe Manchin and Republican Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia announced the bill Wednesday. McConnell says in the statement that he raised the issue of protecting minor pensions and health benefits with President Trump this week and is committed to work towards a solution. The bill would transfer money from the abandoned mine land fund to prevent the insolvency of a 1974 miners' pension plan and add coal company bankruptcies from 2018 and 2019 to 2017 health care legislation.
Five people have been indicted in Fleming County for allegedly engaging in organized crime. The Ledger Independent reports 52-year-old Darren Ridner and 23-year-old Ashley Ridner of Ewing, 35-year-old Crystal Klontz and 30-year-old Jason Blevins of Maysville, and 30-year-old Cody Monroe of Augusta were all arrested in August. The five were taken into custody when officers with the Fleming County Sheriff's Office, the Gateway HIDTA Drug Task Force, and the Kentucky State Police executed a search warrant. They were indicted on November 1st.
The parents of a three-month-old child in Winchester have been arrested on abuse charges. The Winchester Sun reports the name of the child's 17-year-old father is not being released due to his age. The mother is 19-year-old Shelby Barnett. The two were arrested last week after doctors found evidence of multiple broken bones. The father faces first-degree assault and first-degree criminal abuse charges. Barnett is charged with first-degree criminal abuse. She is currently being held in the Clark County Detention Center, while the father is in the Fayette County Detention Center. The child is in state custody, and the injuries are not believed to be life-threatening.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight a 10% chance of rain before 7 p.m., cloudy during the early evening, then gradually clearing with a low around 23. Friday, sunny with a high near 36. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 18. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 48. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 35. Sunday, sunny with a high near 56. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 37. And now taking a look at some of the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. It's currently 40 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, Mount Sterling, 42 degrees in Ashland and Grayson, 45 degrees in Inez, and 41 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University. And on our feature segment today, Morehead State University inducted several people into the Alumni and Athletic Hall of Fame during homecoming festivities. WMKY's Leanne Akers has the story.
Three athletes, three alumni, and one founder were honored during this year's alumni dinner and homecoming celebration. Founders Award recipient Dr. Gerald DeMoss was a respected member of the Morehead State faculty for 42 years. After retirement, he returned to the university to assist with administrative positions, including acting provost and vice president for academic affairs.
This place is sort of dear and near to my heart, and it was hard for me to retire. I had a difficult time making that decision, and I've just enjoyed it here, and the emotion of the night probably will be when I see the video and see the response.
Sean Armstrong was a member of the 1993 OVC Championship golf team. The following year, in 1994, he finished only one stroke behind the winner of the OVC tournament and as a result was named All-OVC.
Yeah, I think it's a big honor for the team that won the conference championship. I mean, I feel blessed to have this championship and the ring, that's I've always wanted that so bad. And then to be inducted into Hall of Fame is even better.
David Neely was an accomplished high jumper and represented MSU at the NCAA Championships and the United States Track and Field Federation Championships. Neely says he was happy to see how far the athletics program at MSU have come.
To see the sports that have been added, I mean, now we have a sand volleyball team. I'm like, we didn't even have a volleyball team when I was here. The campus is incredible. I mean, walking around and driving around it, I've been here several times in the last couple of months, and it's incredible what they've done.
Caitlin Barber was a standout member of the women's volleyball team from 2005 to 2008. She still holds multiple records at MSU and has gone on to become a high school volleyball coach. She says her success wouldn't be possible without her team.
I wouldn't have loved what I did and who I was, how I was able to do it without the people around me. I've made friends for life. And especially in my position as a setter, I wouldn't have had any success if other people didn't have success. That's just the game of volleyball, which is why one of the things that's so beautiful about it. So absolutely, this award is cherished by me, but I also believe my team as well.
Annette Graham was a successful administrator in the culinary industry. She attended the Breckenridge High School on the university campus before attending the university, but never imagined she would be honored at MSU.
All my years at Breck and then at MSU, it's just really a great honor. And I'm hoping that I represent my friends and colleagues very well with this, accepting this honor.
Wayne Mincy has had a successful career in strategy, operations, finance, and business development in North America, Europe, and Asia. Mincy says being on MSU's campus brought back memories.
So I was talking to my wife and my daughter-in-law when we were here. We were walking around campus, and they said, well, how much has it changed? How much is it? I said, in certain ways, like this building, it's dramatically different. And I said, and then there's other things when you walk up the hill, and you're looking at all the buildings, you're going, this is just like it was when I was here.
The final recipient is most well-known for his voice. Steve Inskeep has traveled across the world as host of Morning Edition on National Public Radio and got his start in broadcasting right here at Morehead State Public Radio. Inskeep says he's touched by the idea of current students thinking of him as a role model.
I think that one of the limitations that you face in life is just realizing that you can go places, that you can do things, that you can try things, and they may not work out, but that the whole world is out there. I don't think that I realized that when I was a kid. It took a long time to even think about how far that I could go. And I would encourage anybody who's a student to dream big and to realize that they can take a chance.
More information on this year's cohort of Hall of Fame recipients is available at moreheadstate.edu. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 449 and 41 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Morehead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
It's the Battle of the Birds tonight at Johnson Arena. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Morehead State men's basketball gets right back to work tonight. The Eagles push on in the 2019-20 schedule, hosting Spalding at Johnson Arena. Spalding, a Division III team and members of the St. Louis Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, will be opening its season with this matchup. Nicknamed the Eagles as well, Spalding was 11-14 in the 2018-19 season. MSU head coach Preston Spratlin says his team watched film from last season to prep for tonight's game.
They got some really good guards. They got some small guards that are fast and can really score it and are pretty dangerous. They got some versatile bigs. They're going to run an offense that's kind of similar to us. And so even though there's some familiarity to that, and it's going to be our tempo versus theirs. So we got to make sure that we're getting back to running our offense with the tempo that it requires so that we can do it at a higher rate than what Spalding does.
The game will be on ESPN Plus and WIVY. School-aged children are encouraged to come with their parents or guardians for what will be a kids-themed night. The Morehead State University women's basketball team is continuing to work before their season opener Saturday. The Eagles are heading to Bowling Green, Ohio after picking up an exhibition win against Hillsdale last week. Head coach Greg Todd says there are still some things to tune up, but the team is putting in the work.
We'll be a team. I think it's going to just take some time. We've got a very brutal non-conference schedule, and we will continue to work hard and try to get this team better by the time that we open up with conference play in January.
Tip-off in Bowling Green Saturday is set for 2 o'clock. The Morehead State University football team is working to get back on track after falling to Dayton last weekend. The Eagles dropped that game 49-35 after they couldn't overcome a dominant first quarter from the Flyers. Still, head coach Rob Tenier says the team has had time to reflect and improve since then.
Defensively, we gave up way too many good or big plays in the run game and pass game. And offensively, we fought back. We got back in the game. At one point, we were two scores down or got to one score down. And, I felt like our team believed we could win the game, and then we gave up a big play. They got back up two scores, and we kind of never recovered.
The Eagles hit the road Saturday to take on Valparaiso. Kickoff from the Brown Field is set for 2 o'clock p.m. The Morehead State volleyball team is gearing up for their final home matches of the season. The Eagles welcome Tennessee Tech and Jacksonville State for senior weekend festivities and will honor redshirt senior Danielle McCarson and senior Carly Reynolds. Head coach Jamie Gordon says his team will need to keep emotions in check.
I think they've worked really hard to put themselves in a position to compete for a championship. We're taking each day as an opportunity to improve and get better, and I think they've really embraced that mindset all year long. Even though it gets down to the crunch here, I think that they're keeping the same focused approach that they did really from the first day of preseason.
The Eagles host the Golden Eagles of Tennessee Tech Friday at 6 p.m. and the Gamecocks of Jacksonville State on Saturday at 2 p.m. Both those games can be seen on ESPN+. The Rowan County Senior High School volleyball team is preparing for their trip to the state tournament tomorrow. The Vikings clinched the 16th region championship against Boyd County last week and will take on Corbin during round one of state. Coach Steve Walters says this week has been about keeping the team focused during their downtime.
There's a kind of a tendency with basically all the schools that are the not the all-girl Catholic academies to kind of say, well, we made it to the state tournament. That's it. It's over with. We've kind of achieved our goal. But, we want to make it to Saturday. So we've been trying to kind of create a mindset to where we are not finished yet.
Round's game against Corbin is set for 8 p.m. tomorrow. And finally in sports this afternoon, tonight's Thursday night football matchup pits the Oakland Raiders against the Los Angeles Chargers. The two teams enter the contest pretty evenly matched, with the Chargers sitting at 4-5 on the season and the Raiders at 4-4,
Still, Oakland defensive coordinator Paul Gunther tells Raiders.com his team has a lot going for them right now.
We're playing the run really good. I mean, you know, those guys are really, you know, we're playing a lot of seven-man front, so it's exciting to see. When you can do that and you can limit, add in the extra guy in the box where, they, you know, you can get one-on-ones on the outside, that's a good thing. And Hankins leads the charge, and, you know, PJ and Maurice and those guys have done a lot of good things in there for us this year.
Kickoff in Oakland is set for 8:20. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes Spalding tonight at 6 p.m. Women's basketball plays Stetson at 6 p.m. on Friday, November 15th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose to record highs after the world's two largest economies, the U.S. and China, reportedly agreed to remove existing trade tariffs, sparking a huge rotation into stocks and out of bonds. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 182.24 at 27,674.80. The S&P 500 was up 8.4 at 3,085.18. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 23.89 at 8,434.52. The Dow was keyed by strength in trade bellwethers such as Caterpillar and Boeing, which were both up over 1%. Energy stocks were very strong, advancing 1.6%. And your bank stocks were very strong today, with Bank of America up 1.3%. Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, and the other major banks all climbed anywhere from a half a percent to 2%, and this on the back of rising interest rates today. Interest rates on the 10-year Treasury, which is considered the bellwether for the U.S. Treasury market, finished today at 1.96%, and that is up from a close yesterday of 1.81%, as the market had a tremendous risk appetite in terms of selling bonds and going into stocks. On the earnings front, Qualcomm had a very good report today, and the stock soared. It finished with a gain of 6%, and the company did top expectations on both revenues and earnings. In the commodities markets, oil was very strong, up 1% at $56.91 a barrel. Gold was down 1.6% at $1,469 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%. Most markets were up in Asia as well, with the Nikkei up 0.8%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up 11 cents at 44.86, Kroger down 12 cents at 26.88, CSX up 44 cents at 74.08, Marathon Petroleum up $1.97 at 66.25, and PPL Energy was down 8 cents to finish at 33.24. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking another quick look at your region's weather, tonight, 10% chance of rain before 7 p.m., cloudy during the early evening, then gradually clearing up with a low around 23. Friday, sunny with a high near 36. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 18. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 48.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Shamari Mosley, Cody Robinson, and Sarah Mead. KNN's Suzanne Duvall, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Moorhead State University's homecoming festivities. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.